You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Wednesday, April 25th, and the weather is breaking. It's finally nice in St. Louis.
I know. It's biking. It's actual biking weather for, like, normal people.
It's actually spring here, but you know where it's summer?
In the Cayman Islands.
In the Cayman Islands. We're going to go there in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. We are so grateful that they underwrite The Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at Concordia University, Wisconsin's website, cuw.edu or kfuo.org. They're in the underwriter section there. You just click on that. That's in the upper left-hand corner. Click on that and you see the little falcon icon there. And find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin. So where spring is probably happening, but it's a little bit warmer when you go to the Cayman Islands. And our friend, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of Sharper Iron, and also now pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois, is serving a vacancy at Safe Harbor Lutheran Church in Grand Cayman. Joining us this morning, Pastor Fisk, how are you?
No, Grand Cayman, man.
You're acclimating quickly, I hear.
Oh, it's so fun. I love the way they talk down here. It's such a panoply, though. It's not like a lot of the rest of the Caribbean where you really have kind of a single indigenous culture. The culture here is a mix of almost all the Caribbean flavors, and it's been fun.
So this is a Caribbean island, but for people who are geographically...
challenged?
Yes. where can you give us an idea of where actually you are?
Yeah. The Caribbean is a set of islands in the Mediterranean Sea, and that's just off the northeast coast of Asia.
Really?
I don't believe you.
No.
I was baffled there for a minute.
I was looking at the map behind Andy's head, and I got really, like, confused.
I have been to Grand Cayman before, and I don't remember being near Asia, but I'm not going to question the people who are smarter than me.
Well, I appreciate you giving me that hat tip. So the Caribbean islands is the string of islands that runs through the Gulf of Mexico, right? So south of Florida, south of Texas, north of the Yucatan Peninsula, that big thing. And most people know Cuba. Cuba's the long one that we have some history of not being friends with as the U.S. Most people have heard of, like, Jamaica. Jamaica is sort of southeast of Cuba, and that's due east of the Cayman Islands. The Cayman Islands is a stretch of three islands, Grand Cayman, Cayman Brac, and Little Cayman. Grand Cayman is really where most of the people live. The other two islands are fairly sparsely populated. There's a few shops, and sometimes a cruise liner will stop there for shops. But most of it goes on Grand Cayman. The main town there, Georgetown, is a banking center. So if you've heard of the Cayman Islands, it's because they are a tax haven of sorts. And in the 60s, there was a bit of hootenanny where Americans were trying to shelter their money from the U.S. government down here. You can't do that anymore, but there is untold millions in the Cayman Island banks from going way back. And again, the idea being it's a place where you can avoid some taxes. It is a British Commonwealth, so it's technically under the United Kingdom still. The Queen's on the money, so Canada, but not Canada. It's not really a British Commonwealth anymore, but kind of, you know, it's like Canada South. Fascinating place.
A little warmer.
I've enjoyed the diversity of this place. It is, to be sure, a touristy island. So if you come down and spend any time on the west side, 7 Mile Beach is the main beach there. It is very much geared toward tourist economy, and that's because there is no other real economy here outside of the banking industry. Everything on the island that it produces is tourist-oriented, and as a result of that, everything's pretty expensive, too, because everything has to be shipped in. But as a result of that, they're very friendly. I have not met a single local who hasn't been very happy to talk with me. Meredith and I, my wife was here briefly with me, were driving, and we drove by some guys who were doing yard work. And I just kind of nodded at one with my sunglasses. The guy got a big smile, and he said, "Yes, sir." And he saluted me, right? I mean, it was just they want people to come here, and it shows because, again, it is their livelihood. And the 7 Mile Beach is it's not 7 miles, but it's a beautiful, beautiful beach.
So you're serving a vacancy at Safe Harbor Lutheran Church. Tell us about this church and the people that make up that congregation.
Is it
locals, or is it?
It's a little bit of an enigma, and part of what I'm doing here is trying to, as an outsider, get a flash pan view of it and then give them a little bit of feedback, both them and World Mission, that is technically over them. You know, why are they here? What do they do here? The congregation began back in 2003 or so, and it was connected to a number of what we would call expatriates, former Missouri Synod people who had, for various reasons, moved to the Cayman Islands. They had jobs here, they had married people here and lived here, and they still wanted a Lutheran church, and there isn't one. There's some Reformed churches on the island, there's a Catholic church, but there were no other Lutheran churches. And so they gathered together and they found a way to, with themselves and a little bit of funding from some mission programs, to plant a church. And things went pretty well for them for a while. They never really established what you would call an indigenous presence. Excuse me. Most of the people that began joining, and they did have some growth for a while there. Most of the people that began joining were former, how do I say this? People from Canada, people from South Africa, people who had some sort of Lutheran or Reformed background, but were now moving to this island to be in the banking industry or other sort of white collar work industry. And that all went well for a bit, but then the funding mechanism kind of went away. And the history of that is maybe not so much a public thing, but it put some real challenges on them. And then there was also a bit of an argument, and there was a split. And so as a result of that split, there's now another church on the island that's not a Lutheran church, but has a number of the members, and they're still kind of doing their thing. And the congregation, as a result, has just not really recovered. And so now the question is, you know, what is the future? How do we keep a presence here? You have a congregation here. It's not large. It certainly can't fund a full-time pastor all by the offering plate. But what do? You got an island down here that's a hubbub and mix of all the cultures of the Caribbean, Latin American world. And do you not want to have a presence there? Do you not want to be there and try to reach these people? Do we just, you know, abandon them to the Reformed? Not that the Reformed are all bad, right? But that would mean, you know, if you want the Lord's Supper, you got to go to the Roman Catholic Church. It just doesn't sound like the plan the Lutherans want to have, right? So anyhow, it's they meet in a rental facility, so they don't have a building. They don't have a presence that would be seen. They have a parsonage. Currently, though, we had a little trouble with the rental facility, so we're actually meeting in the parsonage just for a couple of weeks. It's very much a challenge for them. But as I've been down here and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking about it, you know, in my mind, it's like, man, if you leave, you're not coming back, right? If you don't support this mission, then you're letting this stuff just be here. I mean, golly, one of my most interesting conversations I've had so far was with a gentleman named Abraham, not a member of the church. Met him in an evening drive. We went up the coast, and we're just kind of stopping at every little public beach up the coast. And I walked away from the car and left the windows down because there was no one there. And another car playing loud music pulled up right beside ours. And I thought, well, I got to walk back over there and roll the window up or just stand by the car or whatever. Who knows? And out come these two, what we would call African-Americans, but they're not African-Americans at all, right, in the sense that they're not from the U.S. These are two Caymanians, you know, long-lived Caymanians. They probably were brought from Africa originally, their families, but they've been freed for a long time. Abraham was one of them. He sells coconuts by the road every day. He ended up giving me a free coconut. He's a Rastafarian, right? The religion of Bob Marley and people who believe in a strange version of the Old Testament God Yahweh, but through African understanding and African paganism a little bit, and the use of marijuana and whatnot, had a fascinating conversation with him, right? And part of me is like, man, you know, you walk away from this guy who, just on Sharp Iron, we were talking about, you know, if your peace rests on somebody, stay with him. Well, he was listening to me. We were talking, right? It wasn't like it was over. I didn't convert him or anything, but he was open to conversing about things of the Spirit. Do you just walk away from that? Do you abandon the island of that? And that's the question that World Mission and this group of people have to answer. And if they're not going to abandon it, then what do they do? How do you make ends meet, right? How do you pay for a pastor and or his family to live on an island where let me say this. I mean, it's expensive here. It is pricey. Every time I go to the grocery store and buy a couple pieces of chicken and some beans, you know, I'm racking up $75. So it's a conundrum, but it's also an opportunity, like all mission areas are.
We have just about a minute and a half left. What do you see as opportunities for Safe Harbor Lutheran Church and this mission there?
Well, I know one of the things they're talking about is early childhood care. Mm. The island does not provide early childhood care at a certain age, very early. And then also, if you are not a naturalized citizen, you can't receive it. So if you're just here on a worker's visa, you don't get it. And so it's very, very expensive, and it's something that could be produced, and kind of as a market segment, it would allow you to grapple with or to get a building and a presence and those kinds of things. So I know they're talking about that. One of the other ideas that I'm going to pitch to them is, and this is a totally out of the box, but is to be a vacation spot for pastors, where you have a parsonage that you convert into your sanctuary, and it's got a couple of rooms in it, and then you basically let pastors know that if you come down for a week, do two services, you got a place to stay in the Cayman Islands, and you get everything organized in a way that you make yourself a vacation destination for pastors, which, if you think about the market economy of the island, that's what the market economy of the island is. You're just fitting into that niche directly.
And if you oversleep on Sunday morning, the congregation will be there to wake you up.
They'll come to you.
Yeah, they'll come right to you.
Well, the question there, though, is that model, you're probably never going to grow to be a 300-member congregation, right, with that model. You're going to stay fairly small, but you would have word and sacrament on the island continuously. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's sort of, who are you competing against? Charismaticism is very large here. There's a massive event going on this weekend that I know is that you got to compete with that, so... It's not an easy answer. I hear the music, so.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of Sharper Iron, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church, Rockford, Illinois, and serving at Safe Harbor Lutheran Church in Grand Cayman. Thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.